to him who has brought us together, we give you glory. Hallelujah. Our Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We thank you because unto you shall the gathering of your people be. Bless our time together once again. And take all the glory. And take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Alright, thank you. You are all welcome in Jesus' name. It's a great conference. And I don't want you to miss out of what God has in place for us. By the grace of God, this morning we'll be looking at the topic, the life of a missionary. The life of a missionary. And I would like us to go through scripture this morning. Let's open John chapter 9. That's our text. And from there, we move on. The life of a missionary. Is a mission conference. And when you come to a mission conference like this, focus will always be on your life. Very key. And so that's why in this conference, we will be trusting the Lord to do something in us. Amen. Amen. John chapter 9. Let's read from verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he has thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came see. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Chris Wright, a very popular missiologist, made a statement. A statement that has stood for years. And this is what he said. He said, it is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as that God has a church for his mission in the world. He went further to say, mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission. I don't know whether you can, you know, whether you have understanding of what Chris Wright just said. That God's mission has been in place even before the church came. Do you know what he was saying? He was simply telling us that God himself is the originator of mission. That's the summary. That God himself, from onset, is the one that brought mission into place. So when God brought mission into place, God has to look for the church to bring about the fulfillment of that mission. Are you with me this morning? And what that simply means is that the church is very instrumental in bringing about the fulfillment of God's mission. And what that simply means is this, that you and I, we are very crucial in bringing about the fulfillment of God's mission. That's why your life, my life, plays an important role in bringing about the fulfillment of God's mission. I would like us to look at Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. Quickly, Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. Media, can we have the Bible verses on screen? Please check if it's possible. Let's do. Thank you very much. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. Very popular story that we all know about. It has to do with the calling of Isaiah. It has to do with, you know, God commissioning Isaiah to go and carry out his assignment. And when you look at verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The life of a missionary. Even God himself, at a time, was looking for a man to go. And the Lord is still looking for men and women in our generation who will go for him. The life of a missionary. Yes, God is the creator of mission. Yes, God has the blueprint of mission. But he's still looking for men. He's still looking for women. He's still looking for people that will help to ensure that his mission comes to fulfillment. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. From this you will get to know, people of God, that your life is very, very important. And that's why this morning we want to take some time to look at scripture. Jesus Christ, from where we read, is the perfect model of a missionary. And this morning we'll be dwelling on John chapter 9 from verse 1 to 5. We want to look at the life of the Master himself. We want to look at the life of Jesus himself, the greatest missionary that ever lived. If your life is going to bring about the fulfillment of God's mission, then you must take your bearing from the man Jesus. Jesus is the prototype of a missionary. Jesus is, you know, an example of who a missionary should be. Jesus is the pattern, God's pattern, of who a missionary should be. Jesus is the mold, is the design, is the pattern for our own good it will be nice to build our lives following his step. So Jesus Christ, our Lord, remains our perfect example of who a missionary should be. He is the pattern. And I want to beg you this morning, follow him. Let your life be a reflection of his own image. People of God, we cannot bring about the fulfillment of God's mission if our own life is contrary to the life of Christ. Look at John chapter 15 verse 17. For you to know that Jesus was a missionary. And if we are going to do great things for the Lord, then our own lives must be patterned after him. John chapter 5 verse 17. Look at what he said. He said, but Jesus answered them and said, my Father walketh, hitherto I walk. My Father walketh, hitherto, and I walk. So, child of God, you've come to a mission conference. I want to plead with you this morning. Ensure that your life conform to his image. The life of a missionary. I want to emphasize again that if we are going to effectively carry out God's mission, then we must allow the life of Christ to be formed in us. Amen. If we are going to be effective missionaries in our generation, in our communities, in our campuses, we need to allow the life of Christ to be fully replicated in us. The life of mission is sustained by the life of Christ, resident in the life of a missionary. The life of mission is sustained by the life of Christ, resident in the life of a missionary. Mission dies when missionaries are not reflecting the life of Christ. So mission is sustained when the very life of Christ is resident in the life of a missionary. Oh God. If the life of Christ is not resident in a man, no matter what he's doing, is a social work. Are you with me? No matter the good works you may be doing, if it is not being done on the premises of the fact that Jesus has found in you a dwelling place, you are just a charity giver. Hallelujah. This morning, let the life of Christ be found in us. Hallelujah. I say, let the life of Christ be found in us. I am your own. I am own. Chidade. Jesus. Oh, today you will come. Jesus. Let that be your prayer. Oh, I am. Let
Christ, let Christ, let Christ find in me. Let Christ find in you a place of abode. That is where mission begins. Aha! Just stand up, stand on your feet, lift up your hands. Let there be a church, let there, just lift up your hands this morning. As you make it, as you ask find in you a dwelling place. I am your home. I am your home.
See the day you will come.
Christ must find in you a place of residence. You want to be an effective missionary? Christ must find in you a dwelling place. God bless you. Have your seat. The life of a missionary. The life of a missionary. What manner of life? What manner of life should a missionary reflect? What manner of person should a missionary be? Hear me again. If Christ has not found in us a dwelling place, I say it without any apology, you are just a mere social worker doing good. Father, we thank you. Oh Lord, we thank you. Oh my Father, we thank you. Mission is beyond just doing good. It's beyond just giving people food. It's part of it, but it's beyond that. It is ultimately making men to find place in him. It is making the world to find place in Christ Jesus. He is the way. He is not one of the ways. Are you hearing me, student? Jesus is not one of the ways. He is the way. Let's go back to John chapter 9. The life of a missionary. Using Jesus as a model. You understand me? Using Jesus as the known consecration. Yeah. You know, in chemistry lab, you cannot get the unknown without a known entity. Yes, sir. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
No. You can't find the concentration, you know, of another substance if we don't know the concentration of one. Jesus is the model. The man Jesus, hear me, is the greatest missionary. And this morning, we want to look at his life and compare him with my own life. And peradventure you find that when you are looking at the man Jesus, that there are commands, there are limitations in your own life. Don't hesitate to say, Master, do something in me. I hope you are with me this morning. John chapter 9 verse 1. Like I told you, we are going to just focus on the first 5 verses of that John chapter 9. Verse 1. And as Jesus passed by,
Huh? As Jesus does what? Give me an answer. As Jesus, he saw a man which was blind from what? Birth. It is a matter I want us to look at this morning. Talking about Jesus, the model missionary. And we want to look at our life in light of his own life. Bible said that as Jesus was passing by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. He saw a man that was in a need. Are you with me? He saw a man whose state was pitiable. He saw a man whose condition needed attention. Are you with me this morning? Do you know that Jesus could have as well passed that man as if nobody was there? Are you with me? But Jesus saw a blind man. Choir, God bless you. You can have your seat. Jesus saw a needy person. Jesus saw a sympathetic situation. Jesus saw a situation that needed attention. Jesus refused to be blind to the state of a man. I want to say this morning that the life of a missionary is a life of vision. Please take note of that. The life of a missionary is a life of vision. Let me show you something in John chapter 4. I think our choir director, you know, raised it this morning. And I say, yes, that is where to go. John chapter 4. Look at what Jesus said. Verse 34. Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to finish, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, do what? Do what? Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are what? They are white already to harvest. This, I hope you can see the principle here. The same principle in John chapter 4. This principle that Jesus mentioned. We saw it in John chapter 9. Jesus said, don't close your eyes. Lift up your eyes. And you will see that the field is white. The life of a missionary is the life that sees the challenges and the needs of a generation. I'm asking you this morning. What have you been seeing? The situations around us, people of God, they are enough to create burden in us. The situations in our nations, the situations in our communities, the situations in our campuses, brothers and sisters, if you sit down and look very well, they are enough to create burden in your heart. The sympathetic state of our communities, they are terrifying, they are alarming, that we cannot afford to be quiet. So the life of a missionary is a life of vision. You get to a place, you just need to lift up your eyes and you will see the burden of God around you. So painful that many of us, we close our eyes to the things that God wants us to see. Child of God, we can no longer afford to be insensitive to the need of our world. Can I beg you this morning, come out of your comfort zone. Come out of your comfort zone. Walk, you know, down the street. Walk through your campuses. Walk through your neighborhood. And you will see lives that need the gospel. You will see lives. You will see many lives that falls into the category, you know, of people that Jesus mentioned in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. You know, Jesus said in Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, you know, bring healing to the brokenhearted, set the captive free, proclaim the acceptable years of the Lord. All the people within that, you know, statement of Jesus, they abound all around us. But we cannot see them if our eyes are closed. May the Lord open our eyes, people of God, to see the needs around us. Hear me this morning. It is the vision of the world around you that will create burden in you. You cannot be an effective missionary if you are myopic. If you only see that which concerns you. Oh no, you cannot be an effective missionary if you are not seeing beyond yourself. And that's why this morning I'm asking you, come out of your comfort zone. So that you can even feel what others are passing through. It is your visionary mindset and attitude that will guarantee light and deliverance to those in darkness. The world is in darkness. Our campuses, they need to be rich. Our campuses need to be turned around. Our villages, our communities, they need to receive the light of the Lord. It can only happen when our mindsets has been touched. Let me show you something again from the scripture. I noticed that before the Israelites left Egypt, the Lord saw something. Are you with me? Exodus. Let's look at scripture. Exodus chapter 3. Everybody. That even before the Passover, before the Passover that brought about, you know, the Israelites leaving Egypt, God saw. Exodus chapter 3. We're talking and looking at the life of a missionary. Exodus chapter 3, let's look at verse 7, 8, 9, and probably 10. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. In verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large one. People of God, the Lord saw. The Lord saw their state. The life of a missionary is a life of vision. Jesus saw. And I'm asking you this morning, what have you been seeing? I pray that from this conference, you will begin to see the affliction of your generation. I pray that from this conference, you will begin to see, Kai, the pitiable state of your nation, of your campuses. Because it is when you have seen, that is when burden will be created and you will step out to start addressing the matters. So take notes. The life of a missionary is a life of vision. Number two, the life of a missionary is a focused life. Focused. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The life of a missionary is a life, is a focused life. And I will show you. Let's look at the same John chapter 9. You know, when Jesus saw the blind man, his disciple asked him something. The same master, who sinned? Did you see that in your scripture? Who did sin? Is it this man? Or what? His parents? That he was born blind. Oh my God. And Jesus answered them, neither this man sinned, nor his parents. You know, from onset, when Jesus saw that man, Jesus saw a man that needed help. Not a man upon whom theological argument should be established on. Is somebody with me? When Jesus saw that man, he saw a man that needed help. He saw a man that needed to be transformed. He saw a man that needed intervention. I'm not saying you should continue to encourage sin. Mm-mm. But I am simply saying, looking at the life of the master, at that point, let there be no distraction. Jesus was simply telling them, look, leave that matter. Yes, the issue of sin will be dealt with. But let's not begin to trace the genealogy of sin. Jesus refused to be distracted. Jesus refused to be distracted. If Jesus had entered into that argument, that man would have remained there. And probably opportunity would have, you know, just passed. Today, we have so many things distracting us from God's mission. So many! And many of us are not even sensitive enough, as you know, to know what to get involved, get ourselves involved. Jesus refused to be distracted. A need has been spotted and nothing must distract him. Today, there are many distractions. And I want us to be sensitive not to be caught in the web of all these distractions. There are many, a lot of things. You see young men, young women, you know, who believe that God has called them to do great things for him, even while on campus, who believe even after graduation that God is asking them to do certain things. You know, jaws of a sudden distraction will arise. I've seen people that when they tell, you know, sitting with you, you know that God has actually called them into specific things. But they, we are battling with distractions. All manner of distractions. There are distractions today. A lot distracting God's mission, distracting missionaries. Family distractions are there. Family distractions. Peer pressure. Distraction. You know what God has told you. You know what you should be doing. Your generation will say, look, now you killed Jesus. They will call you all manner of name, and before you know what is happening, you begin to lose the passion that God has given you. Let's be sensitive enough to know when distractions are coming our way. Let's be sensitive to know when distractions are coming. And like Jesus, let's refuse to be caught in the web. Economic distractions. They are there. Economic distractions. Spiritual distractions. Like the one we just saw here. He said, who sinned? This man or the... Jesus did not even answer them. You know, I mean, he didn't get himself involved. So several times we have distractions. And I'm asking you this morning, and I would like you to look inward. What is distracting you? What has been distracting you from doing what God has asked you to do? Who is distracting you from God's purpose and plan for your life? I call on you to be focused. I call on you to be rugged. I call on you to be dedicated. I call on you to be determined. Don't allow distraction. Don't allow distraction. Don't allow distraction. Tell yourself, I will do that which God has asked me to do. Jesus, don't forget, the model missionary. Luke chapter 13. Let's look at this, the life of Christ again. As we look at this scripture, I'm asking you again, what is distracting you? Who is distracting you? It's a question you will need to answer in this conference. What is distracting me from doing God's work? What is distracting me? Ooh. Oh, if you get an answer this morning, then you are ready to fly with the Lord. Distractions. Economic distractions. Economic distraction. Even when it is very clear. Oh, even when it is very clear what the Lord is saying. But my stomach, bread, will not allow me to surrender. Even upon graduation, and the Lord is telling you, son, daughter, I want you to remain in this city so that we can partner together to do 1, 2, 3 things. And you say, look, that this land is dry. Economic distraction. And before you know what is happening, you begin to walk your movement. You say, Lagos is where it is happening. Abuja is where it is happening. Port Harcourt is where it is happening. I pray this morning, you will yield to the Lord. Distraction. Even family distraction. Family. Luke chapter 9. Let me show you. Luke chapter 9. When you know what God has said, what God has said concerning your life, prayerfully let your family know. Thank you. I know you have good plans for me. But this is what the Lord has told me. Release me that I may serve the Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you whithersoever, wherever you go. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said unto the another, follow me. Now look at what he said. He said, Lord, suffer me. Permit me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their dead. Jesus was not teaching him, not to be responsible. Please, don't misinterpret scripture. But Jesus was simply saying, look, my kingdom first. Are you with me? My kingdom first. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said also, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first, Kai, let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home. And look at what the master said. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Let there be no distraction. The life of a missionary is what? Is a focused life. Number three, let's quickly move. Very fast. Because I will be asking you to pray this morning. I will be asking you to bring your life before the altar. So that the Lord in His mercy can pattern your life again. After, His own life. The life of a missionary is a life after God's glory. Take note of that. The life of a missionary is a life that seeks God's glory. Very key. You don't go into God's mission trying to make name for yourself. And I have young men, young women hearing me this morning. Mission, God's mission, is not a platform for showmanship. I hope you are with me. Oh no, it's not a platform to contend Christ's lordship over people's life. John chapter 9. Please go back again. In verse 3, Jesus answered, neither this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. If the reason why you are coming into God's mission, oh God, if the reason why you are responding to God's mission and saying, God, here am I, is to be a celebrity, you missed it. I hope you are with me this morning. No. Let's get it. If the reason why you want to be part of God's move in this end time is to be a world celebrity, I think you missed road. Only Jesus must be seen. Brothers and sisters, we need to visit Calvary this morning. Some of us, what is driving us in this work of the Master is not for God's glory to be seen. It's our own agenda. That's why today, if we don't call you by the title you have given yourself, there is a problem. So they call you brother now. Some of you will be annoyed. He says, it's as if you don't know the grace upon my life. Some of you have become a god in your campus, eh? Year one students, now that they are coming in, they just call you Papa. Say, bless you, children. Papa. You see them in the fellowship, they say, Brother Matthew. You say, come. Are you a new student? You say, yes. You say, no problem. The young shall grow. Showmanship. That is not missions. Jesus said, it's not the Father that sinned, it's not the man that sinned, but that the works of God should be made manifest. The life of a missionary is a life seeking God's glory. Is a life that wants God to be honored. Is a life that wants God to be glorified. It is all about God. It is not about the man. Don't come to God's mission to begin to contend God's glory with him. You will only kill yourself. It is not for me to be seen. It is not for you to be seen. It is for us to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus at every point in time. Can I show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? You know the story of Paul and Apollos. Let's open 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because we need to see scripture. We need to model our life after the man Jesus. We need to model our life looking at scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And because of time, let me just go to verse 4. For while one seeth, I am of Paul. Another, I am of Apollos. He said, are you not Cana? When I see so many things happening today within the flock, when I see so many people today, you know, taking the place of Jesus, I know that it's flesh that is at work. Look at verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But who? Ministers. By whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. What is the meaning of ministers? What's the meaning of the word minister? Eh? Servants. Oh, there is no time. I will have asked us to look at Paul, Apostle Paul's introduction. Have you ever seen where Paul introduced himself as slave of Christ? Eh? Brethren, let's welcome to the podium the slave of Christ. He's one that is coming to minister to us tonight. Even if I invite you like that now, you say, look, you start pleading the blood. But if you have understanding, you will know that you and I were already sold to the Lord. People of God, we need to have this understanding. The life of a missionary. He said, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? He said, they are what? Ministers, servants, by whom you believe. And look at verse 6, I have planted.